Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
Jesus prays in John 17, I'm praying that they might have eternal life, and this is eternal life, to know You, to have this relationship with You, to have it growing and to have it vibrant living in my life. And I want to ask you, do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt? Or will you have this uncertainty about your life, this uncertainty about your direction, your uncertainty about eternity, my friend? Do you really, really know Him?
Living on Every Word.
Living on Every Word.
God has moved in this worship time. He has moved among us. We have worshiped Him. We have sought His face. Whose face are you going to seek the rest of the week? And who are we going to live for? Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I praise You today that You have placed a song in our hearts because we are believers in Christ. Father God, You took us from the pit of destruction. You put our feet upon the rock and You placed a new song in us. Oh God, let us sing it all our lives. Not just for a few minutes on Sunday morning. Let us sing unto You. Let us live unto You. Let us give our lives unto You. Let us truly sing and say with our life, I love You, Lord, and I worship You. Father God, if You are living water, if You are the living fountain, and You said that, Father, when You come into our hearts and lives, when the Spirit comes in, that, Father, that we would overflow with streams of living water. Father, I pray that as we open the Word this morning, that it would absolutely, totally come to life to us. That, Father, that You would be honored in it and glorified in it, that You'd be lifted up in it, Lord. I ask, Lord, that as we open it and see it, that, Father, You would speak to every single person here today. Father, I believe with all my heart You have an absolute, total word for every one of us in this place today. I want to thank You for that word today. I want to thank You, Lord, that it will not return void, but accomplish exactly what You desire in every life. So we say, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. As we seek Your face, but Lord, come quickly to consummate the end of the age. We praise You and bless You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. You have a passage of Scripture here where there is a man, a paralytic, who sits by these waters in Bethesda. When the angel of God, in certain seasons, the Scripture says, would come and stir up the water, and whoever got in first got a healing. They were made well. And this certain man was there. And for years, actually 38 years, at that poolside. And Jesus comes along and asks him, do you wish to get well? In verse 6. And the sick man answered and said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said, I'm your pool. Right? You just got to step into me. Take up your pallet, rise up, and you walk. That guy gets up, he walks. He's carrying his pallet, he's going home. He's not walked for 38 years at least. And the Scripture says he went up, he began immediately. And you know, in verse 9 it says it was the Sabbath on that day. And therefore the Jews were saying to him who's cured, it's the Sabbath and it's not permissible for you to carry your pallet. And he said to them, he who made me well was the one who said to me, take up your pallet and walk. And they asked him, who is the man who said you take up your pallet and walk? And he said, and the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you've become well. Don't sin anymore, so that nothing worse may befall you. And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Forget about the miracle. Forget about the life of God. Forget about those things, see? Because this is the Sabbath, and if you're of God, you won't do anything good on the Sabbath. You don't heal on the Sabbath. You don't do any things on the Sabbath. But he answered him and said, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. And he says this, in essence, if my dad's going to work on Sabbath, I'm going to work too. If God's going to heal people on the Sabbath, I'm going to heal on the Sabbath. Notice what else he says here, and this is not a word about the Sabbath, okay? This is just an introduction. But notice what he says. For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Folks, we've been looking at John 17, this high priestly prayer of Christ. And the suggestion that I want to say to you today, or share with you today, is that this prayer of Jesus was done not by his initiation, but it was by the initiation of Almighty God. God spoke this prayer, and Jesus spoke it as God spoke it. The scripture says that he does nothing on his own initiative. He does nothing of himself. It has to be something he sees God doing. For whatever the Father will do, these things the Son also does in like manner. Now, when I look at this passage of scripture, I think of a couple of others. I think about in John chapter 12, verse 44. It says, for I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. When you look at John 17, you can take a look at it. It says, listen, when Jesus spoke it, he didn't speak it on his own initiative. The Father who sent him gave him this word, and this word is eternal life. It's the kingdom of God. When you look at John 17, you see the very essence of eternal life. You see the very essence of the kingdom of God. You see the very essence of God's purposes for your life and my life. Please don't miss this. Please don't miss the words that God gives through the Scripture, that God gives in the New Testament through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the entire Word. These things are life. In John chapter 8, verse 28, it says, Jesus therefore said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, or I am. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me, and he's not left me alone. Why? Because I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As I look at Jesus, as he spoke, at what he spoke, he heard first from his Father. Therefore, John 17 definitely describes God's will for your life. Now, all week I've been preparing this message, and this is where it stops of my preparation until last night. I went back to my study. We're going to do the next point in John chapter 17. I told Johnny I'm going over to the study and I'm going to just study a little bit more and get ready for tomorrow. And I walked into that study. And I just want to tell you, God gave me a word. Some of you have heard the word before. It may not be for you on this specific day. But I know that God wants to speak in this. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, if you would. 1 John chapter 5. I believe that there's some reasons why you and I don't have an effective prayer life. There's some possibilities we're going to look at in just a second of why you and I do not have an effective prayer life. Why we just can't seem to get it together. Why some of us just can't get our Christian life together. Oh, we have all the intentions. We have all the things that we want to do. We have these promises that we make. It always seems we just come up short, dry. And we never follow through. We never push through. And we can see that in our prayer life. We can see in the way we approach God, the way that we walk our walk before God. And when you think about John 17 of God praying the will of God, then, my friends, I want to be just like Christ. I want to pray the will of God. Because the Scripture says in verse 13 of chapter 5, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before Him that if we, watch this, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know, see, confidence, knowing, if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know, we're convinced that we have the request or we possess the very requests which we have asked from Him. Answered prayer. He says, if I pray according to the will of God, if I pray according to His purposes and to His promises, and He says, if I do that, then I can know, I can be certain, I can be sure that God is hearing me. But there's so many of us in here that so often you come to me and say, I'm just not hearing God. It's like this wall between me and Him, and I can't hear Him. I can't hear His voice. I can't walk in the direction that I want to walk in. It's so dry here. It's death here. Why is that? Why can't I see the power of God in my life? Why can't I see the presence of God, the provision of God? Why do I feel like He does not hear me? And here are some suggestions. The first one, you may not know Him. You may not know Him. And that's a very sobering word. Very sobering for me. You may not know Him. You know, if you don't know Him, does that, you know what that means? That means you're not a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you know what that means? It means you spend an eternity in God-forsaken hell. Knowing Him is believing in Him and being in Him and walking in Him. And I want to ask the question that I feel like God has asked me to ask this morning. Do you know that you have eternal life? Do you have this absolute total assurance that if you were to die today, that you would meet God, that you would enter into heaven, and that you would live eternally with Him? Do you believe this, and are you convinced of it, and do you know it? Not here, but deep down in your knower. Deep down, you just know. You know and you understand and you see. And I mean, John says it in this whole book. I'm writing these things so that you may know without a shadow of a doubt, without any lack of faith, that you have eternal life. I ask you another question. A question that I hardly ever ask in witnessing to people. And a question that I think is so hypothetical, I don't think God would ever do this, but I'm going to ask it anyway because it kind of gives you just the idea. If you were to die today, you stand before the living God and He just asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Let me ask you, what would come out of your heart, your mouth? Can you think about that right now? Just think about it right now. What would you say to Him? I'll give you a couple seconds to think. What would you say to the living God if He said, why should I let you in? What would you say? Think it right now. Just think it. What would you say to the living God? You know, there's many times through my life that I've asked questions something like this or similar to this, but mainly is you know, do you know Christ? Yeah, I know Christ. Have you ever received Him? Yeah, I received Him. Well, tell me about how you received Him. I said, well, when my mom was sick, my grandfather was sick, or I've heard this 100 times, not 100, maybe 50. When my relative was sick, I prayed. She got well, and, well, I knew God answered my prayer, and God touched me. Folks, I want to tell you, He might have touched you, but you didn't get saved at that moment. Did I tell you that? You did not get saved at that moment. He might have touched you. He might have prepared a way for you. He might have began a work in you. But that is not the moment of salvation. Listen, Abraham was chased all over the Middle East saying, Abraham, I want to make you a great nation. It wasn't until he was 98 years old that the God that he said he believed God. And God reckoned it to him as righteous. God began a work, but He completed it. And as I look at this passage of Scripture, I look at this life, and I say, you know, that's not how you come. I've heard, of course, I'm a Christian. I'm an American. Have you ever heard that one? I've heard that one, I promise you. I'm an American, good Christian nation. I'm an American, makes me a Christian. Well, Madeline O'Hara was an atheist, and she was an American. Did that make her a Christian? It's a playboy named Hugh Hefner that is an American. We have Muslims who are American. Anton LaVey, the founder of Contemporary Church of Satan, was an American. Think about it. Well, I've heard, I was baptized, or yeah, I walked the aisle, or yeah, I became a member of a church, or yeah, I'm a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. Yeah, I do that. I pray every day. I pray to God every day. Yeah, I've seen visions of Jesus. Folks, just because some people see the face of Jesus in their enchilada, they're not, that doesn't mean they're believers. They got people like that. Saw Jesus there. Saw Him there. Saw a picture of Him right over there. Saw Him in the clouds. My word. Folks, you don't depend on visions that you've seen. You just don't. Now, those sometimes might be nice and God gives us vision, but we don't depend upon that. You depend upon the Word of God and what the Word of God says. The enemy can bring an angel of light and tell you a whopper that you think you believe and end up straight in hell. Now, I came to Christ when I was 8 years old. I'll tell you, it was a genuine experience. I remember the day. Rode my bike down to Pastor Fazell's office just a block and a half away and went into his office and prayed to receive Christ. I remember that day. It was a Thursday. Can't remember the month of the day, but I know it was a Thursday. And God touched my life as an 8-year old. I know that God called me when I was 10 years old. I knew, I've seen God work in my life. But I had to come to this point, even as an 8-year-old, to know that I was a sinner and on the way to hell. And I understood that Christ died for the sins of the world and that God birthed within me somehow this faith to believe that what He did 2,000 years ago on that wooden cross, He did for that 8-year-old boy. He died for me. And I embraced that word and that work by faith, believing and trusting and bowing to His Lordship. Not only did He become my Savior, He became my Lord. And don't you ever think, and I've heard it before, where people stand up and say, when I was 8, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and now at 33 years old, I'm accepting Jesus as my Lord. Well, you know what you did? You just split Jesus right in two. He is your Savior and He is your Lord, and you bow to that Lordship. You bow to Him. You bow to His work. You bow. You say yes to Him. We repent of our sins. And you know, I want to ask you, has there been in that experience with Christ, when you received Christ in your life, when you had that moment that you knew that you were born again, did you think about the blood of Jesus? Was the blood of Christ mentioned in that? Did you know that you were a sinner and that you weren't a good old boy? You weren't just a good and moral guy or gal. Because, my friend, there's no one good. Amen. Scripture says that, not Mike Fritcher. Because if there are people good, why would Jesus have to die?
That's right.
Why would He have to die? Was the blood there? Was the cross there? Was it at that moment that you understood that you were on your way to hell and in a moment you would repent and you would believe and you knew in that moment you were on the way to heaven and it was going to be a great ride to the gates of heaven? Do you know that today? Do you understand it today? Do you feel that today? When you go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, and I think I have it right here. Yeah, 1 John 2:4 says this: the one who says, I've come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever is keeping His word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. When I look at the Lord's Prayer, I see in John 17:3, He prayed that we'd have eternal life. And He prayed that we may know Him. He says, this is eternal life, knowing God, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. This is salvation. This is salvation. Knowing Him. Understanding Him. But we get this thought that, man, because I'm doing this or I'm doing that, then I must be a believer. I must be a Christian. I tell you, folks, you're never known by what you do. You're known by who you are and what comes forth from your mouth and your life. Do you know that? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for just a moment. Keep your place in 1 John. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Well, I got to be saved. I speak with the tongues of angels. Or I've got a gift of language. Scripture says if you speak with tongues of men and of angels, but you don't have that very essence of God in you, and that is love, you become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Did you hear that? You're not known by your gifts, folks. The enemy can counterfeit gifts. He just can't counterfeit fruit. He can't. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy, well, I got some prophets. Know all mysteries. Here's a wise guy in more ways than once. All knowledge. If I have all faith, even to remove mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, see, I'm a giver. If I deliver my body to be burned, I'm a martyr. But I do not have love. It profits me nothing. Nothing. Your salvation is only based upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. It's upon the bought blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And Jesus prays in John 17, I'm praying that they might have eternal life. And this is eternal life, to know you, to have this relationship with you, to have it growing and to have it vibrant living in my life. And I want to ask you, do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know? Do you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt? Or will you walk out of here today and you'll have this uncertainty about your life, this uncertainty about your direction, your uncertainty about eternity, my friend? And folks, we don't know when it's all going to be over, for you or for me. And there's a moment in our life that we need to make that right. We need to make those relationships right before God. Because folks, we don't know when it's going to be all over. The Scripture says, I write these things to you that you may know. Do you know of your eternal security today? You might be here today and you say, you know what, that's me. That's me. I don't know Him. I have never begun a genuine, moving relationship with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that have come out of my life on a practice, habitual way has not been godly. That may be you today. See, Scripture says we know that we're in Him because of what's happening in our life right now. Folks, I love to tell the story of how Christ touched my life in my pastor's study at 8 years old. But I'm not 8 years old anymore. My friends, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. He is writing to Christians. He's saying it's today. Tomorrow's gone. Yes, we can share when we were born again. But folks, it's the life just flowing out of you today. I want to ask you that question today. And I want to ask you that if God is stirring in your heart, I'm going to ask you to come forward and find Christ. We had someone this morning come forward and said, Mike, I've never known Him really. You'd be shocked to know who that was. Weeping. I've never, ever come to Christ. So I thought I've had. Thought I made a commitment. Thought I did this. But I've never had that. Lord, I pray right now that You would well up within us today to ask the question, honestly, because this is so critical, to say, Lord, I don't know You. But God, You're stirring in my heart. And I bow to Your Lordship. I bow to You. I confess You. Lord, my life. My prayer for you is that that's what's happening right now in your life. Right now. Maybe the reason why it's been so dull, why it's been so hard, is maybe you don't know Him. And that's not the only reason that it might be hard right now. But it could be. And I want to ask you, I want to give you the opportunity this morning to respond to that in a few minutes. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You would settle upon us in a mighty, mighty way. And I want to thank You and bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, I want to ask the question, do I know Him? Is that why my prayers aren't being answered? But the second question I want to ask, I might be a believer, I might know Him, but I'm not praying according to His will. I'm not praying according to His promises, according to what He has said. I believe in Him, but I've gotten off track, and the things that I pray for are for me and my flesh. And that's how oftentimes we see prayer. You know, Lord, I'm having struggle in this area, and I just got to feel comfortable again. And maybe God doesn't want you to be comfortable right now. Maybe God wants to stretch you right now. Maybe God wants to say, listen, you need to be stretched through this time and through this period of time. I want to get to know You through this time. And you know, and sometimes it may be just because there's some sin in your life. And you can't, and because of the sin, it's unconfessed. You just can't get through the fellowship with God. Maybe you need to confess that sin today. Maybe you need to come at this altar, just say, God, this is where I've been. Not only are some of you would come to say, God, I need you, and I've never received you, and I'm receiving you now, but Lord, I'm confessing this before you. I'm confessing to this person that I've offended. And you know, sometimes we pray with wrong motives in our lives. The scripture says to spend it on our own pleasures. But I want to ask you the question. It goes back to where we were in John 17. Are you praying according to God's will? And you know, when I look at this passage of scripture, and I see God's will in my life, and we've seen a couple of these in the past weeks. The question I got to ask, am I praying, Lord, be glorified in my life? Be glorified. Or am I asking for just all the special favors that I think that God ought to give to my flesh, into my finances, into my pocketbook? We pray, Lord, keep us in your name. Lord, are you praying that today, folks? Are you praying this to the Lord? We pray, may we have your joy, not the world's joy, but your joy. These three things, that God be glorified, that God keep us in his name, that we have the full joy of God, is God's will for your life. We pray, keep us from the evil one. Protect us from the evil one. We pray, sanctify us in the truth, Lord. I mean, when's the last time you've asked God to make you holy? When's the last time? God, I just want to walk in holiness before you. Here's the will of God right here, John 17. He prayed it by the initiative of the Father. What I'm challenging you as a church family, is that get to this word and ask God to do this work in your life and in your marriage. Send us, Lord. Send us to China. Send us to the Navajo. Send us to Mexico. Send us across the pasture. Yes! Send us to Walmart. Send us to our jobs. Send us Monday morning that we might follow you and we might speak of your holy name, not to be obnoxious and to flip it in their face, but to live the life before them. Send us, Lord. Send us. Send me. Here am I. We pray, make us one. Make our marriage one. Make me one with you. Make our children one with you, Lord. Make our body one. And Lord, may we be where you are. I want to be where you are, Lord. Because, Lord, I've been in some places this week that I wouldn't want you to be where I've been. So, God, I want to be where you are. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Praying the will of God. Knowing that we possess God's glory. Knowing that we possess the joy of the Lord. The sanctifying work of the Spirit. We possess a sent Spirit on our lives, where we know that we're just not to stand still, but that God sends us. We have the spirit of unity and oneness. We possess the presence of God to be where He is. Are you praying according to His will today? Because if you are, He's hearing you, and you know that if He hears you, you possess those very requests that you're asking. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for how you speak to us, how you show us great mighty things from the Word, from your life. And God, I'm asking in your name that you'd come and you'd move in a mighty, mighty way right now. Lord, if there's someone in here right now that's the very fiber of their soul was just touched and are able to say, that's me. I'm just like James was. God, I pray for a boldness today and a courage that they might truly find life indeed today. There's someone here today that maybe have never even heard this. What? You mean I'm not a Christian because I'm not giving my life to Christ? You better believe it. If you ever given your life to Christ and have seen the fruit of that coming forth from your life, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would quicken us in this worship time. And I want to thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, how you're going to move, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. I just want to ask the question before Dave leads us. Do you know Him? Do you really, really know Him? And if you say, you know what, I don't know if I can answer that question, but I sure would like to answer it, I'm going to invite you to come right now. I've got some people who would love to talk to you. I don't know that answer, but I sure would love to know that answer. I would love to know it. I'm going to ask you to come right now. Let's see.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.